Welcome in, everyone, from the Friends with Fantasy Benefits and Lineup Logic families. Got a collaboration podcast here. Your host, Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Rota One. Joining me today, Chris Boove. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going? Good. How are you?
Thanks for being on with me. We're going to talk some early DFS, do a little refresher for people who haven't played MLB DFS before or haven't played much lately.
It's that time again.
It is, you know, opening day. A day away here.
It's like Christmas.
Yep. Should be a national holiday, in my opinion.
Absolutely. That and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the day after the Super Bowl is a tough one. That thing doesn't get over till way too late. just to give a little outline of what we're going to go over, we're going to talk the site differences between, you know, your options of where you can play. We're going to talk some key terms. Talk a little bit about a few important things, weather and Vegas lines. Talk contest selection, you know, where you should be starting out, a little bit of bankroll management. Talk a little bit about spending up on pitching and why that's important. Talk a couple of key stats. We're going to probably use K per nine and OBP today. Give you one hitting and one pitching stat each episode here just to kind of get your feet wet. And then we'll wrap up talking a little bit about opening day and the opening series that are going on just to get our feet wet. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the ads. You've seen, you know, the very annoying ads a couple of years ago. Got to DraftKings, FanDuel in a little bit of hot water with everything going on. That, you know, they weren't regulated. Now they're regulated and they can advertise however they want. And the government took a nice wet bite out of them, which has been passed on to us, the end users, in the form of rake. the one of the main ones, there's two main sites. You got DraftKings and FanDuel. Some slight differences, mostly available in every state. There's a few states that have some quirks. So check that out first and foremost. You can see either on their website or just go ahead and download the apps and see if it'll allow you to create a lineup. I'm going to start off with DraftKings. So the scoring on DraftKings is a little bit less than FanDuel. You have 3 points for a single, 2 points for a double, 8 points for a triple, 10 points for a home run, 2 points for an RBI, 2 points for a run, walk, hit by pitch, and then stolen bases are 5 points. That's the hitting side. Pitching side, you get 2.25 for each inning pitched, 2 points for a strikeout, 4 points for a win, -2 for an earned run, some small negatives for hit by pitch, walk, that kind of thing. And then the rare but sometimes comes into play point scoring is 2.5 for a complete game, an extra 2.5 if it's a shutout, and 5 points for a no-hitter. Then the rosters are standard on DraftKings. You catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, 3 outfielders, and 2 pitchers. The 2 pitchers being a key part of DraftKings. You got a little more salary over there on DraftKings. So big part of that is that pitchers are expensive and you got to use it on your pitching. It's tough on DraftKings finding 2 pitchers, not the, definitely not the easiest, thing every single day, especially when you're not getting the aces. That's the first, however month or so, 2 months of the season. Yeah, you get a lot of the same pitching matchups because they're on the same 5-day rest. I guess unless they're the Rays, who are going with a 4-man rotation.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
Yeah. That's my yeah, you're from down there in Tampa, right?
Yeah, that's terrible.
So we'll see how long
we made
that
a huge
lasts.
Trade today. Side note.
What happened?
You hear about that? The Rays made a huge trade today. We got Rob Riff Snyder.
Somehow that slipped
game out. Changer, man. Uh-oh. Game changer.
What is he, like a lefty hitting specialist?
I guess. Yeah. You want to call him that? I'm not going that far.
Yeah. The name's like vaguely familiar.
He was with the Yankees a little bit.
Right.
See the way it's an atrocious move.
Yeah. So DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, you're going to find the biggest prize pools, the biggest entry fields There's two kind of contests when there's either multi-entry or single entry. That's a big point of distinction. Single entry, self-explanatory, you can only have one entry. Multi-entry is anywhere from like a 3-entry max, a 20-entry max. Some of them are 150, huge numbers. When you get into the really big prize pools, they're going to be multi-entry, and you're facing guys who have bankrolls in the thousands that can afford to put in 150 entries into, you know, the $4 contest. You don't want to face them.
That's a losing battle.
Yeah, it's not
losing battle.
You're making a donation. So, what to do?
I feel like DraftKings is so much more tedious than FanDuel, especially for the beginner. FanDuel is probably the best way to go if you're just beginning, because DraftKings, you know, you got to worry about the two pitchers, then you got all the different scoring system. You got all the you know, the walks, the K's, and all that stuff. FanDuel, you know, it's 6 points for a win. You do get 3 points for the strikeout, but you get the quality start, which DraftKings does not have. You get the -3 for every earned run. That's basically it. And you get the you get the 1 point for every out, but that's it on the pitching side.
Right. And what's nice about that is, it lines up more closely with like just betting a game where, you know, if you like the team, you like their odds, and you think they have a decent pitcher going, you roster that pitcher. And, that's going to give you a good shot at getting points. The quality start is an interesting feature of FanDuel, which I was really glad that they added, which measures a pitcher's skill a little bit more than just, you know, can this team's offense put up enough runs to surpass what the pitcher gives up? That's, like you said, a good spot if you're not a guy who wants to dive in and – you know, really, really look at pitching stats, look at swinging strike rate, look at K per nine, look at walk rate, home road splits. So you just kind of want to say, all right, the odds are good. I like this guy. He's got decent strikeout totals. It's a simpler place to start for sure. And then tell us.
Much simpler. And even offensively, there's not a whole lot different. The home run is a couple more points at 12. I believe DraftKings was 10. The RBIs, 3.5 points per RBI on FanDuel. You get 6 points per steal as opposed to 5 on DraftKings. I can't remember what you said for walks, but FanDuel is 3 points, so that's the same. You get 9 points for a triple. So, I mean, it's pretty much similar.
Yeah, they play the power up a little bit. You're going to take that into account slightly more than on DraftKings. While we're going over the sites, there's a couple others to mention. The new kid on the block is Fantasy Draft. I've played a little bit on Fantasy Draft. They have a decent platform. Their pricing structure takes a little bit of getting used to. The salaries are higher and your budget is higher, but generally their algorithm is pulling from the same place. And, it's going to be kind of consistent ratio wise, even though it's a higher total number, it's the same percentage of your total budget. So, the good thing about playing over there is that you're not swimming necessarily with all of the sharks that are on DraftKings. You can get into beginner pools. Those are really nice, just for being new to the site. Even if you do know a little bit about DFS, you can jump in, being a beginner head to head or a small field beginner tournament, and not have to worry like about knowing who's playing, second base for the A's, out west late at night, because nobody knows who's playing in that infield once they start to get injuries. So it's worth checking out, creating an account, and you get the deposit bonus, a little bit of something there. Sometimes you get a free entry, not too bad. Then the two other things I wanted to mention are, You got Yahoo, who's they've been in daily fantasy for a little while now. They don't have a bad product. They just don't really market it, so they don't attract as many players. They do some free rolls and stuff like that, so I do a little bit over there. The one thing that they're doing this year that really interests me, though, is they've created what they call Quick Match. And what it's going to be is it's a head-to-head, and they're taking no rake. So, you know, if it's a $1, you know, entry head-to-head, the winner's taking home $2 instead of $1.80, you know, and progressively up.
That's interesting.
So, you know, what they're banking on there is they're trying to attract you as a player, and hopefully you're going to enter into their tournaments, and that's where they make their rake. But if you're somebody who's looking to, you know, build a bankroll, play cash, you know, getting head to heads, like, start off in Yahoo for sure. Their pricing is a little bit different. It takes a little getting used to. It's a different platform, but it's still the same thing at the root of it. You know, it's the same engine. It's just different trim. So, I'm definitely going to be playing over there for Quick Match, just so I don't have to pay the rake and head to heads.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard of that.
It just came out, I think, in this past month. I don't really play basketball, so I haven't had an opportunity to dive in. But I'm excited for baseball to give it a go. And then the last site
is just before you get to this last one. Boom Fantasy, is that considered daily?
They're kind of in a gray area. I think they would, like, from a legal standpoint, be considered daily. Boom Fantasy, for anybody who doesn't know, you kind of have to, there's a series of questions and predictions, you know, who's going to hit more RBIs tonight. And they're going to give you four guys, and you say who you think it is. You get certain points based on how likely they are to win that. So, like, if it's Aaron Judge, you might only get, you know, 2 points. If it's Chris Owings, you're going to get like 10 points. And then, you know, there's a number of questions. I got into Boom Fantasy last year a little bit, but then got away from it. So yeah, I'll have to put that back in the arsenal.
Yeah, I did it during the NBA playoffs, and it was pretty interesting. I just don't know if that's, I mean, I guess it would be considered daily.
Yeah, it's just a little fun different site. It's a little bit easier because, like, there's only what is there, 5 questions typically?
I think so. 5 is, yeah, 5.
It's either 5 or 10, I believe. They might have 2 different formats, but, like, you don't have to know every single hitter, every single pitcher. Like, you just have to look at these 4 hitters, do the research, and say, I like this guy the best.
Yeah, because they give you pretty big names.
Yeah, they definitely don't bury anyone. It's people you're going to know. So, yeah, then the last site that you maybe haven't played at before is draft.com. Interesting format. It's really kind of dumbed down. You get one pitcher, 2 infielders, 2 outfielders, and it's a snake draft. So there aren't really any big field GPPs. You're in either a head to head or a 3-man, 6-man, 8-man. I think 8 is kind of where they end. You know, so you're obviously, everybody can't roster Giancarlo Stanton. You know, he might be the first pick. So it gives you a little bit more of the seasonal feel where, you know, you're not fighting guys that can just maximize on their salary structure. You know, it's an either or proposition. The scoring is fairly similar. They're a little bit dumbed down. Pitching is just a win, 4 points, minus 1 for an earned run, 1 for a strikeout, 1 for an inning pitched. So similar to FanDuel, without the quality start and kind of just, you know, you only need 1 pitcher. Same thing. If you like a guy and you like his odds, it's skewed a little bit. You know, it doesn't pay out quite as strong on the pitching end. So you don't have to go as pitching crazy, especially in like a head to head. The pitcher is going to be the last guy you draft. You know, unless it's like Kershaw and a bunch of scrubs, like there's probably 2 pitchers that you're going to be comfortable with on any slate. The hitting is almost the same as DraftKings, you know, pretty much in line with that. So the good thing about being over there, like I said, is, You're not going to have to go as deep. You're not going to have to worry about who this infielder is on the West Coast. You're getting probably four guys that are studs. Even in an 8-team league, you know, that's 16 outfielders, 16 infielders. On any given day, there's usually 16 pretty solid players going. And then, you know, head-to-head is really interesting because it's like there's only two people drafting five-man teams. So you got – like I just did a couple for opening day, and it's like I'm doing a Yankee stack or a National stack, and sometimes both. You got to line up with Judge, Gary Sanchez, Bryce Harper, and Trey Turner. Like
it's like the equivalent of a four-man season-long right. league.
So, but you know, it is daily. You're one day and you're done. You move on. The rake is pretty standard too. So, not a bad place to kind of segue into the daily game if that interests you. So those are the sites. You know, obviously you know the rules you're playing on. I would kind of stick to one if you're starting out. Don't be all over the place. It's more to track. Just pick one, the roster you like and you feel like is kind of fits your groove. So let's talk a couple of quick terms here. You know, one of the big things you're going to hear is people talking cash games versus GPPs or tournaments. So GPP is a general prize pool. It's at least usually 100-man field, up into the thousands, tens of thousands in some cases. Cash game means it's a 50-50 contest where half of the people win, slightly more than your entry fee. So like if it's $1.50-50, you're coming away with $1.80. Double ups are considered cash games, in my opinion. Head to heads, same thing. You know, you both put $1 on the line. The winner takes home $1.80. It's the 10% rake from the site is the difference there.
That's how you make the money on the cash games.
Yep. You know, that's we'll talk about that in contest selection a little bit, but that's where you want to be to start out. You know, if you're going to play 10 contests, like 8 or 9 should be cash games. You know, if you don't mind lighting $1 on fire, have at it in a big field GPP.
Lottery ticket. Someone's got to win it.
Why can't it be me? So another term you hear a lot about is stacking. So tell us what stacking is, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, stacking is, you know, if you're going to take that dollar and light it on fire and you're going to use that lottery ticket, then your best bet to win it is going to be by stacking. You're going to stack in the GPPs. You're going to take a handful of players, 3, 4, 5 players from a team that's in good position. And hopefully they put up 7, 8, 9 runs. I don't think 5 or 6 is going to be enough to really do anything for you if you're stacking, because you need 5 different players to do something nice.
Right. And you know, the reason stacking works well is because, you know, if you have the 3, 4, 5 hitter, like you said, the 3 hitter gets on base, the 4 hitter hits a double, he's getting an RBI, and the double, the 5 hitter drives him in. Now that guy gets a run scored as well. Plus you get the RBI from the 5 guy. So you're getting the RBIs, the runs compounding, so to speak.
Yeah. And you can stack in different ways. You know, you could do 1 through 5. You could do all righties, all lefties. If, you know, certain teams like off the top of my head, the Astros have a lot of right-handed bats. You could stack all righties. If they're facing a bad left-handed pitcher, you stack against it. You just got to we'll get into it later a little bit, but the stacking chalk is good in the cash games, not so good in GPPs.
And when you stack, you know, it doesn't have to be completely chronological either. Like if the team doesn't have a number 2 hitter that you love, you could go 1, 3, 4. You could go, you know, 3, 5, 6. As long as they're likely to come up to bat with the other guy on base during the game, that works. One of my favorite things to do is if you have a good lineup like the Indians, you know, they had Bradley Zimmer hitting 9th for a while. I'd stack 9, 1, 2, 3. Because you'd have Zimmer, Lindor, and then either Kipnis when he was healthy, or you know, another fairly good hitter, which would you know, is kind of a nice sneaky way to get a chance at an RBI from the nine hole.
Absolutely.
Another term you're going
to. And stacking like away game, like away teams is even more beneficial because, you know, if you stack a home team, they may only get the, let's say they scored 7 or 8 runs. You're getting 4, maybe 5 at bats. If you stack a road team, you get that at bat in the ninth where you may not get it if you're a home team. So just to maximize your scoring potential.
A little bit of an edge there. Every little bit counts. Another term you hear a lot is punt play or punting. You know, basically what you're doing there is you're saying, you know, this usually happens at catcher, sometimes middle infield, either shortstop or second base, maybe your third outfielder. You're saying, I got a safe salary somewhere. You know, your average catcher is $3,500. I'm going to spend $2,500 so that I could pay up for a pitcher. You know, it's got to still be a player who's in the starting lineup, but you're going to say, you know, I'm crossing my fingers here. This guy is the 30th catcher out of all 30 teams, but he's the lowest salary, and it gives me enough of an edge, I think, in another spot.
Let's just put it this way. There's a whole lot of punt potential on my hometown Tampa Bay.
Yes, there is. I miss the days when the Rays had the they had all the right-handed bats. So if you saw a lefty going in there, it was a great opportunity for some salary relief with a good shot at doing pretty well.
Yeah, I miss those days too.
So you mentioned chalk, Chris. Why don't you tell us what chalk is?
Yeah, chalk. It's the high ownership guys. You get the Rockies at home against a bad pitcher, a bad lefty, you know, and you're expecting the Rockies to score 10 runs. Well, so is everyone else. So you're going to get guys like, you know, Patrick Corbin, who does well against the Rockies at home, not so much on the road. Anybody. I mean, Homer Bailey, just guys that have the potential to give up some serious runs on the road. You know, you're going to get teams against them where even Vegas is going to project 9 total runs scored in a game. Well, everyone's going to see that, and they're all going to jump on Colorado. Now Colorado's chalk. And not all of it's bad chalk. Some of it's good, but you just got to – it depends on your contest.
Right. So you alluded to earlier, you know, in a GPP, chalk really matters because you need to use a little bit of game theory. You don't want to stack the Rockies and the Nationals who are facing, like, the Phillies' fifth pitcher. They're going to be really owned. Even if they do well, you're doing well at the same time as too many other people. You know, you need a little bit of chalk to do well. And then, you know, you need some lower owned players. Or like you said, if Arenado is facing Patrick Corbin at home, he's going to be owned on a much higher percentage than the next third baseman. So while he's a good play, if he doesn't, you know, hit 2 home runs, he's worth not rostering. And with, you know, baseball,
with baseball
being a game of failure, like, even though Arenado should do well against Patrick Corbin, he could easily go like 1 for 4 with no runs scored.
Yeah, and you know, you got to find a way to make yourself a little contrarian, a little bit different to win a GPP. And, you know, in a cash game, Arenado against anybody is pretty much chalk. And that's okay. But
in a cash game, chalk doesn't really matter because you're playing either one person or you're playing a half the field because you're in a 50-50. And that doesn't matter quite as much. You know, in a big field 50-50, you do need just a little bit of game theory. Like if there's a spot that you see as an obvious fade because you think like, you know, The most obvious thing I can think of is a pitcher who has reverse splits. So let's say he's a left-hander. So everybody's going to jump on the right-handed bats that he's facing. But if he has reverse splits and he pitches better to right-handers than he does left-handers, that's a spot where you could say, you know what, I'm gonna fade that. The hitter's there where everybody else is going to be rostering him. And the last term I want to talk about is lineup lock. Obviously, as the games start, you can't take that player out of your lineup. He's locked in. you want to check, you know, 6:45 for the 7 o'clock games, 9:45 for the 10 o'clock games. Make sure the guys that are projected to be in the lineup are in the lineup. There's last minute lineup changes. A guy's got the flu, whatever. Pitcher goes out and feels something in his shoulder. He's going to be scratched. Pitching is the most important part to make sure you've got. You know, you lose one hitter, it's not the end of the world in a cash game. You can survive that, but you don't want to give anything away for free. So you definitely want to check, make sure everybody looks good to go, you know, 15 minutes before the games are supposed to start.
Yeah, don't set and forget. Yep. That's a big mistake.
Made that mistake and have paid for it myself. So that segues nicely into a topic that you're going to have to focus a lot on DFS. It's weather. The simplest way to do this is to find a good Twitter follow or, you know, an alert service. Different sites have it. They'll, you know, you get on their app, they're going to populate notifications if games are canceled. My personal favorite, he's kind of the gold standard in the industry, is Kevin Roth. Does a lot with Roto Grinders. He is all over it. He's you know, an actual weatherman. I think he's in Texas, but he dedicates most of his time to the different home ballparks, and he uses a color chart, you know, green through red, makes it really easy to understand. He's very accurate as you can be with predicting the weather and whether this, like, you know, late summer isolated thunderstorm is going to hit this 1 square mile section of the city.
Is that the guy that everybody's always attacking on Twitter?
He does get attacked, only because he's like the most popular guy. But, like, you know, my retort if I'm him is like, okay, find somebody better. Like, you don't have to follow me. But exactly. He does a really good job. He's a little – I think he actually gets attacked more often for being conservative. But, like, you know, green is obviously a good game. He goes yellow, yellow, orange, orange, and then red. So, like, if he says something's orange, that means, like, it could rain. You know, you might not get any points because this game's going to get canceled. That game could still go off. So, like, he's saying, I could be wrong here. You know, it's not an exact science. So, you know, you don't want
to. You can use that weather to your advantage, though.
Yeah, in a cash game.
Especially in a GPP. In a
cash game, stay away from weather. It's just not worth it.
Absolutely.
Make sure, you know, guys in domes are perfectly safe. Typically, like Arizona, you got Tampa Bay in a dome, Toronto in a dome. You know, Colorado always gets interesting with weather because they're kind of prone to you know, some weird weather swings early in the season. You get like rogue hailstorms and thunderstorms, things like that. And then through the summer, they can get some heavy rains at times. So, you know, you got like, there's a carrot being dangled out there. Colorado's the best offensive hitting environment, so you want to roster them. But, like, there's a 40% chance of a thunderstorm. So, you know, what are you going to do there? And like you said, in a GPP, that could be worth it. People have.
It could, yeah. I did it last season with the Nationals.
Yeah.
They were the third highest projected total Vegas odds. And then the weather was coming through and everybody panicked and got off of it. And I actually I stacked the Nationals, and I don't think one player was over 8% owned.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're willing to take that risk, it's a nice spot to get a leg up. And you know, you're taking on risk, but there's reward to it. So, you know, you've been talking in Vegas lines a little bit coming in here. You want to find a good spot that's got everything kind of organized for you. You can just Google it, and there's plenty out there. You're going to look at the lines. You know, there's the runs, the over under. So, like you said, you know, you want to have an over under of like 9-10 total runs, especially if one side is a better pitcher, like the Dodgers facing somebody with Kershaw throwing, and an over under of 10.5.
Like opening
what's
day.
What's that?
Opening day, Kershaw against. Who was it? Ty Block.
Yeah, that's the Giants' rotation is definitely in trouble,
to say the least.
So, you know, you see a good over under with one side having a strong pitcher. That means there's an implied run total, is the term you'll hear thrown around for the Dodgers. Vegas thinks they've got a good chance to score some runs. And you know, the reason you're going to utilize Vegas is they're not in business to lose money. They've got a lot of people being paid a lot of money to make sure they're as sharp as they can possibly be, that they're smarter, you know, than the average person coming off the street to make bets. Even the people who do a ton of research, they got to be smarter than them. You know, are they going to be completely accurate? No, that's impossible, but they're better than anybody out there. It's a really easy way to just lean on them and know, like, okay, they think that the Astros are going to score six runs. You know, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Just say, okay, Astros are a good play today. It's nice and easy.
Yeah. That's an outstanding tool. You have to use it.
And that's going to dictate, you know, as you start using that, that's going to help you figure out where ownership is going to be. You know, like you said, and any game in Colorado is going to have an over under in the double digits. So that's an obvious one, but like you see over unders of 10 plus, you know, the 3-4 hitters in that lineup are going to be chalky. They're going to be owned. So, you know, use that to your advantage. And you know, baseball is a game of failure. So yeah, you go 1-for-4 at the plate and have a walk, like that's a successful day, even though you failed more than you succeeded. It's a hard game to project, to figure out. So lean on Vegas, let them dictate things and you just stand on their shoulders and say, okay, I'm not going to get cute here. I'm not going to try to outsmart them. I'm just going to pick a game that has a high run total, or conversely, if you're picking a pitcher who has a low implied run total. And obviously dig into the reason why a little bit, do as much research as you're happy to do. But like, you know, just taking a quick look, you mentioned Kershaw. So they're a late game
Kershaw tie block.
That's rough. Yeah. So, you know,
you got Washington against the Reds. You got you're gonna have Scherzer against Homer Bailey. That's gonna be a huge
right. So it just kind of for the pitcher side. So there's an over under 7 runs in the San Francisco Los Angeles game, and the Giants only have 2.5 implied runs. Like that's very few runs. And Kershaw looks,
I think that's a little generous.
Kershaw looks really good in that spot. So, you know, you don't have to do like a ton more digging. Like, you can look at some other stuff, some secondary stats. But, you know, that's probably a good place to start if you're looking for a pitcher.
Absolutely. Even Sale against Tampa.
Yeah, Sale against Tampa, another great one.
Bashing my own guys.
Yeah. You know, you're a DFS player, so you you got to take the points where they come.
Yep.
So we've talked a little bit of contest kind of selection so far, but just to put an exclamation point on it, you know, we mentioned cash games. That's where you need to be starting out. You don't want to put $10 in play, $20 in play. You know, being, they call it the donkey tournament. It's the biggest GPP field. You're just making a donation. You know, the biggest GPPs you should be in are 100-man fields. 10-man, 20-man fields are great, but you want to be in mostly cash games. You know, don't go negative right out of the gate. You also want to start slow. So, you know, you're looking at baseball. It's a really difficult game to predict in general. April's a weird month. Like, you know, pitchers are coming in. They're getting stretched out. You don't know who's going to go deep into games yet. You know, lineups have been juggled. You got new faces in certain lineups. So you don't want to go overboard through April. You just want to kind of tread water, dip your toes in. Cash games are a nice spot to be because, you know, in a head-to-head, you're going against a guy who's got the same disadvantage that you do. you know, he doesn't know any more about the Padres lineup than you do, because we're all figuring it out as it goes. You know, are they going to play Hunter Renfroe? Or are they going to play Jose Perella? You know, as that stuff sorts itself out and you see is Perella, you know, playing well, is Renfroe actually delivering some power? Like, you'll be able to know that towards the end of May. But starting out, you really have to wait for stats to populate, for a legitimate sample size to develop. You know, you don't want to look at a guy.
Yeah. And don't go crazy either. Don't spend all your money on the first day. Spread it out.
You know, don't
do about 10%.
Yeah. So, you know, bankroll management is important. So that's something I'm glad you touched on, Chris. It's, if you think, you know, my rule of thumb is whatever you would lose at a casino. So like, if that's $100, you know, if that's what you would be comfortable walking into a casino and walking away from, like, that's your bankroll, play 10% of that. So that's $10. It doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, put 9 of that 10 into a cash game, play the $1 single entry or a $1 10 man, $1 100 man tournament and build from there. So that, you know,
watch the money.
You know, by Tuesday, hopefully you've come out slightly ahead. Now you got $11 in play, you know, keep doing that. Don't forget that baseball, like I said, is a game of failure. Baseball DFS is no different. You're not going to win every day. It's hard to project hitters, especially, you know, even Mike Trout can go 0-for-4. Doesn't happen very often, but the day you roster him, it could. So, you know, if he's the guy you paid up for, you're probably going to be losing that contest. But have a good process, stay consistent, don't get too high, too low. You know, that's an important part of contest selection. And then, you know,
and another thing is if you're winning the money, you know, if you win $100 your first weekend, don't jump up your percentage. Keep your percentage the
exactly.
Same.
You know, I make that mistake myself so often. I can't stand it. Like, you know, I have a good week in golf. You know, I hit a nice like GPP win for $50. I'm like putting that right back in. I got this figured out. And then, yeah, the next week you're like, oh man, what did I do?
Yeah, keep your entries the same. Keep your percentages the same. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, look at that. You know, when you're done building your lineups and putting them in contests, like look at it and say, you know, am I where I want to be? Did I want to put $11 in today? All right, why am I at 25? You know, you might have to withdraw an entry or two if you're able.
Yes, it's hard to do, but you know, you just keep your head on straight. Yeah,
so then one of the last things I wanted to talk about as far as general terms is spending up on pitchers. On DraftKings, FanDuel, it's really important, especially on DraftKings, because you have two pitchers. It's tempting to, you know, kind of pay up for one and then go bargain shopping with the second guy. You can do that in a tournament. That's how you're going to win a tournament. But in a cash game, you know, don't go grabbing the James Shields of the world and thinking like, you know, oh, this is going to let me roster Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Ryan Zimmerman, so I'm all good. You know, you're giving away too much with the pitching. Pitching is where most of your points are coming from. So you really need to dedicate.
That's big game James you're talking about right there.
You really need to dedicate a good portion of your salary to pitching. You know, I'm even a fan of when you can figure out the hitters to make it work, you know, doubling up at the top, getting, you know, two of the top five guys in a cash game. And then you just kind of need your hitters to tread water.
Not a fan of big game, James?
You know, it's he had an interesting spring. Like, he got shelled for 7 runs, and then I think he threw like a shutout the next day. Not a complete game shutout.
That's how he is now. That's his new way of doing things.
You know, even a bad pitcher can have a good game, but like I said, that's where you want to be in a tournament so that you can pay for a little bit better bats and take a chance, because, you know, risk reward. If you roster James Shields and he blows up and destroys your lineup in a cash game, you lost. If he does well,
opening day, I don't mind him.
Yeah,
so
you
much.
Know, he crossed my mind a little bit, but so like, say he does well,
Kansas City's pretty bad.
you know, you're going to still win $1.80. You don't win any more in a $1 head to head. You know, if he does super great, or if he just does average, or if he blows up, you lose. Use him in a tournament where if he really shuts down the opposing team and it was not expected, now you've got something. You were able to pay up for some hitters. Hopefully they come through. You get the perfect storm there. Everything comes together and you leapfrog up the leaderboard in a 100-man field. That sets you apart. That's pitching takes a little while to figure out, especially on DraftKings with the two pitchers. On FanDuel, my feeling on FanDuel is you're only using one pitcher, so you can't really afford to go too far down the list, especially when the aces are out. You really got to think about an ace. If there's a middle tier guy who's got a shot at doing solid and you think you've got the stack right, you're okay. Bargain shopping can really bite you, especially in cash games. So on FanDuel, I tend to stick to aces when I can make it work.
Yeah, I stick with them too. The pricing on FanDuel, as far as pitchers go, I like it a little better. You're looking at it right now, you got Severino at 10,000. Mm-hmm. And then for just 2,000 less, you could get John Gray. 1,200 less, you could get Aaron Nola.
Right. So that,
So, I mean, the pricing, they give you some options for top guys without spending $11,000, $12,000.
Right. Yeah. And that's the difference between your third outfielder being Matt Joyce and Adam Eaton, let's just say. not that either of those guys can't do well, but, just throwing it out there as a kind of a pricing example. The last thing to touch on before we talk a little bit of game structure, a couple of key stats. So we'll give you one pitching stat, one hitting stat. The pitching stat I'm going to throw out there is Ks per nine. Obviously, strikeouts in DFS are the name of the game. You get points for each strikeout. K per nine is a nice way to measure it. So that you're looking at everyone apples to apples. You can take a guess how many innings somebody's going to pitch, but you're doing just that. You're taking a guess. Kershaw, maybe he pitches six innings, maybe he pitches eight innings. He's probably not going to have a complete game opening day, but there's always that possibility. What you want to do is just make sure you have somebody rostered that hopefully is going to go deep into a game, because if they don't, it doesn't matter anyway. You're not going to have good pitching stats. What you want is somebody with a good K per nine who, that when they do go deep into the game, is going to pile up strikeouts for you. And generally, you want to be about 10 Ks per nine when possible. Depending on their what they do with earned runs, 9 Ks per nine is stomachable. Guys like Scherzer, Sale, Kershaw, that can rack up 9-10 strikeouts in a game, they're the guys who are going to pay the most. And then you were going to touch on OBP, Chris, for hitters.
Yeah, I mean, cash game, the name of the game is you just want your guys to get on base. So on base percentage. Now, obviously, you got your Joey Votto's. He's the cash game play.
Yep.
OBP is around 450. Mm-hmm. But, if you're trying to get some of the lower price guys, you go for guys like Matt Carpenter. They get on base a ton. Here's another one. DJ LeMahieu. Mm-hmm. Those guys get on base. They're not going to blow up. They're not going to give you huge games, but they're going to give you your steady points to get you above that cash line in a 50-50.
Right. So, and the reason OBP is important is, like you said, getting on base is points. It's the most predictable way to look for points. Home runs are obviously where the most points can come from, but they're the least predictable thing. So OBP is a predictable skill. Like you said, Joey Votto, he can absolutely get on base almost half of the time. That's insane. He along with Mike Trout are kind of my two favorite examples of, they give you both OBP, safety, but they also give you upside because they've got power. Trout can steal a base too. They're in the heart of their orders. You get RBIs along with them. But the other guys you mentioned are really good too, because, you know, Carpenter, LeMahieu, like Carpenter's got a little bit of pop. He's a big part of his offense. You know, so he's gonna deliver points usually on a daily basis.
So I think he sold out a little bit with his pop.
Yeah,
he hurt his on base percentage a little bit, but I think he's gonna go back to who he was before. I think this year he goes back to his typical leadoff on base percentage type approach.
Yeah, and it helps having Ozuna in that lineup now that, you know, he was kind of being forced into a round peg, forced into a square hole to try and produce RBIs at a rate that really isn't what his profile is. So Ozuna, they got the big bat now. That's what they were missing. And Carpenter even said, you know, I started messing with the swing plane, doing the uppercut a little bit, and I went too far. So I'm dialing it down, getting back to where I was, like you said.
Yeah, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, in cash games, OBP being such a huge factor, guys like, you know, Rougned Odor, like he can hurt your cash lineup if you try to get him in there. He's more of that GPP type play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. He's a guy that's all or nothing. Yeah, so that's a good point there. All right, and then we'll wrap up here by just talking a little bit about the individual players and stacks, pitchers on opening day. I know you said you've got some stacks and pitchers in mind. We already mentioned, you know, the two big guys, Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw. They're in really good spots. I'm probably not going to go too far outside of those guys if I only need one pitcher. Yeah, looking at the secondary pitchers, you know, Garrett Richards is a guy I've got a little bit of interest in. He's good when he's healthy. You know, he's pitching in Oakland. It's on the road, but just, you know, not far away, LA to Oakland. Oakland's a great ballpark to pitch in. You know, they've got a little bit of pop, but with Richards being a strikeout pitcher, as long as his arm is good, I've got some interest there. Any lower price, mid price guys you have any interest in?
I like John Gray a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going up against Arizona, so it's in Arizona. So that automatically, when you see that, kind of scares you a little bit. But then you got that, you know, the humidor.
Humidor. There's going to be no offense in Arizona.
No. I do like John Gray. If he can just stay away from Goldschmidt, I think he could be really good. Last year against Arizona, in Arizona, he made two starts. Mm-hmm. He had 13 innings pitched. He only gave up 4 runs in 13 innings and had a 10-1 strikeout to walk ratio. 20 strikeouts in 13 innings.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
I like John Gray.
You mentioned Severino. He's an interesting tournament option. You know, pitching in Toronto's not great, but their lineup is it's not what it was for sure. There's some big bats in it still, but like one of those is Donaldson, and he's got a calf issue again. So who knows where he's going to be on opening day.
They just need to call up Vladdy. Stop playing games.
Yeah, he's setting it on fire down there, so we'll see. I probably not this year, but just looking through the rest of the pitchers, I'm staying away from the Atlanta-Philadelphia game. It's in Atlanta. That ballpark is just too much of a liability against left-handed bats.
Yeah, it is. I like Nola, though. I do like Nola, especially he's got a pretty solid history against Atlanta as well.
Yeah, they're not the most fearsome lineup, but some, you know, Freddie Freeman's the most expensive hitter on DraftKings. You know, I feel like they could do a little bit of damage against him.
I mean, but even with my John Gray pick, you know, if he could just get around Goldschmidt, he'd be good. And if Nola can just get around Freeman, I think he could be good. I mean, last year, Nola against Atlanta gave up 1 run in 1 start with 6 Ks in 7 innings. And then against Atlanta again, he went 8 innings, gave up 1. That's in Atlanta. 1 walk, 6 Ks. So he did very well against Atlanta last year.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. And neither ballpark is an easy place to pitch, Philadelphia or Atlanta. One guy from a tournament perspective I do have a little interest in is Chris Archer. Boston has a pretty mean lineup with the addition of JD Martinez, but they're in Tampa, and Archer's home road splits are just ridiculous. He's a much better pitcher at home. You know, as you play DFS, you'll learn that. Stay away from him on the road. But, when he's got the slider working, man, he can punch out a dozen guys with no problem.
Yeah, Boston's loaded, though, so that is definitely GPP. Especially being a Rays fan, Archer has his tendency to blow up against Boston as well. So it's scary, but I get what you're saying.
Exactly. And it's going to be tough to get a win with that offense behind him. So like you said, GPP
for sure.
Fodder. Chase Anderson is a guy I've got a little interest in. San Diego's not a bad place to pitch. It's not the pitcher haven it once was, but, the Padres improved their lineup a little bit. They added Hosmer, but they're juggling things. They've got, a lot of kind of open competitions that resulted in some surprising things. I mentioned Jose Perella. Third base is kind of a question mark for them. And even Hosmer, it's not like he comes out of the gate on fire typically. So I don't hate Anderson if you're looking for a second pitcher.
On FanDuel. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna put my neck out there. I'm gonna say James Shields has at least a quality start against Kansas City. I'm going for it.
Man, he crossed my mind. You got Moose coming in late. Duda came in late. There's strikeouts in that lineup for sure with Alex Gordon. Alcides Escobar hasn't been good for years. They improved their lineup with some of those power hitters, but he could strike out eight, over six or seven innings.
He had two starts against them last year after the All-Star break. The one start, he gave up six earned runs in four innings, and then he turned it around and gave up three earned runs in six innings, but struck out the eight that you just called and got the quality start.
Yeah. So, he's definitely a guy that not a lot of people love to roster because he's got blow up potential in a bad way.
That's extreme GPP.
Sometimes you got to go there.
5,800. It's looking night.
He'll open up some stacks. Sure. So, tell me a couple of your favorite stacks, Chris.
Well, the most obvious one and the one that you're probably looking for in a cash game is the Nationals against Homer Bailey. Last year alone, just one small sample size, two starts, but 1 year, 5.2 innings pitched total in two different starts, gave up 16 earned runs. I don't think I have to say anymore.
Yeah, Bailey was never a great pitcher. He got by with his stuff, but with his injuries for the last couple of years, he's just a diminished player at this point. Opening up against...
How is he even the opening day starter? How is it not Castillo?
Yeah, I guess they're trying to protect him a little bit. He's the cheapest pitcher for a reason. He's probably not going to make it very far in that game. And the Nationals hitters are set up nicely. Harper Turner is a great stack. They're one and they're three hitter. You can mix in Rendon. You can mix in Zimmerman if you like them. What other spots you like?
I got a nice little GPP stack that I might take a stab at, and that is actually the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
They're playing Kansas City. They're playing Danny Duffy. Duffy gave up 19 earned runs to them last season.
Don't tell me this. I own him in the Invitational.
don't put him in against Chicago.
I might have to bench him.
Righties in particular. Yeah. Last year alone, he gave up a .432 slugging percentage to right-handed batters.
Yeah, they're definitely so a right-handed lineup. You're looking at
your Abreus, your Davidsons, Tim Anderson, Avisail Garcia. I mean, there's four right there. Moncada, you can even get in there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's scary. 19 earned runs is a lot.
Yeah, and Kauffman Field, Kansas City's home ballpark, is one of the biggest parks out there. And that kind of scares people away, but you don't need everything to go over the fence for it to be a productive hit. And sometimes you get these big outfields and, you know, the doubles can start flying. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that. The Danny Duffy call that I was just talking about, if I saw this correctly, he gave up 19 earned runs to the White Sox last year. Didn't give up a single home run to them.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, you think of guys getting pounded as giving up home runs, but it's usually not that. It's usually that they just can't get guys out consecutively. It's singles, doubles, walk, single. You know, they can't get out of the inning, and a big ballpark, a big outfield can definitely lead to that.
And some pitchers just struggle against teams. I mean, look at, was this Chris Sale and the Cleveland Indians? He just struggles against them.
We also mentioned the Astros. You got them taking on Cole Hamels, left-hander. They got a lot of right-handed bats. Hamels really fell off last year. You know, he's going to need to show that he can be a serviceable pitcher again before you're going to stop thinking about targeting him. And the Rangers, despite having a good bullpen, like, there's so many moving parts there right now. Things could get a little wild.
How do you feel about Hap against the Yankees?
I love the Yankees. Love the Yankees there.
Yes.
It's in a dome, so you don't have the cold weather that a lot of these other teams are going to be in. You know, one thing you'll hear a lot of people talk about in DFS is you want hot, humid weather. It's going to make the ball carry. But the domes, because there's no wind, it's climate controlled. It's a great place to hit. Hap is a lefty who doesn't have a lot of swing and miss. And the New York righties of Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge are going to probably tee off on him opening day.
Not only that, but Gregorius is notoriously good against left-handed pitchers.
So he's a lefty guy. Some damage. Yeah, he hits lefties better, even though he is a lefty. That anybody in the Yankees lineup is probably good. Toronto does not have a very deep pen, so if Hap gets chased early, you're also going to get some batting practice thrown there probably.
I'm going all in on Neil Walker.
Yeah, he's a guy who, you know, we forgot about him last year because of the injuries and all, but just not that long ago when he was with the Mets, like, he was part of a really reliable DFS stack lineup when the Mets were really hitting their stride, you know, 3 years ago.
$2,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah. We mentioned Colorado. They're in Arizona. I'm a little bit interested in the Rockies. You know, people tend to stay away from them on the road, but they're facing left-hander Patrick Corbin. There's some nice right-handed bats in that lineup, especially Arenado. Arenado, he destroys that division on the road, especially Arizona, San Francisco. Like, don't be afraid of him on the road in either of those spots. You know, they've got a pretty solid offense, so that's an interesting sneaky stack.
So you're not worried about that humidor?
You know, my take on the humidor is it's going to take a guy who hits 20 home runs and he's going to hit 17 home runs. But a guy like Arenado, like, he's not typically warning track power, so I'm not worried about him very much.
I like Colorado as well.
One kind of sneaky stack I like is the Brewers. The Padres pitching is a disaster. You know, the San Diego is kind of known as a pitcher's park, like we said, but it's played more neutral in recent years. And the Brewers' approach is just like swing at everything that crosses the plate. Clayton Richard is going to be their opening day starter. He's a lefty. So righties like Braun, Lorenzo Cain, Domingo Santana, Manny Pena as a catcher. These guys crush left-handed pitching. You know, obviously they're not in their amazing home park of Miller Park, but Richard throws too many strikes. He doesn't have swing and miss stuff. They could really do some damage against him opening day.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid play. The one I've been hearing about that people are kind of taking a look at is the Reds against Scherzer as a GPP type deal.
Scherzer is for sure a dominant pitcher from a strikeout standpoint, but he's not a guy who gives up no runs all that often. He'll struggle with the long ball on occasion, and Great American Small Park is obviously a place where the ball's going to leave the yard.
Yeah, he gave up 22 home runs last year in 200 innings. So
yeah, that's always been his Achilles heel. And you know, opening day, weird stuff happens. Like the guys who are supposed to be great, that they might hit a little bit of a stone in the road there. You know, Votto's an interesting play for me. He's just so solid. Like if Scherzer goes six innings, he's going to get a couple of at bats against their bullpen. He's going to get on base. He's going to have a chance to hit a little bit.
Yeah, that's a solid play. $3,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah, not a bad price at all. And as you know, as the weekend goes, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, these series are going to all be in these same parks. You're gonna have the same offensive opportunities. Places like Cincinnati, really good place to hit. Places like Oakland, really tough place to hit. Good place to pitch. So you know, that this all applies through the weekend. Check in with guys like me and Chris on Twitter. If you have any questions, I know Lineup Logic, we have the Slack chat. Yeah, so find us however you can. Chris, hit us with your Twitter handle.
It is CHRISBOUV14.
There you go. Chris is always active on Twitter. He's got a quick trigger with great GIFs if you want to follow with a little humor. I highly recommend it. And then myself,
greatest invention of all time.
Oh yeah, I live for just posting GIF replies on Twitter. Like I go on there, I don't even care about the baseball content. I just want to post funny GIFs to myself.
I think I've gotten blocked by a few family members on Facebook for overuse.
And then myself, I'm Roto_Wan, ROTO_WAN. I'm on there more than my wife would care me to be, but you can definitely hit me up. I'll answer your questions. Slack chat for the Lineup Logic guys, same thing, Roto_Wan. Make sure you at me if you have any questions. Yeah, happy to talk individual players, theory in general, contest selection, whatever it might be. Chris, thanks for joining me today, man. This was a good hour pod we got in.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your opening day, and baseball is back.
It's back.